Today we are going to teach and then take a few confessions of the word and then we will go. Before we read that mark, please quickly open to Psalm 121. The book of Psalms. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? He said, my help comes from the Lord. If you understand verse 1, actually what he was saying. Anyway, let me not discuss that in detail so as not to cause any confusion. My emphasis is from verse 2 anyway. He said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel we neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. For that reason, he said, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. What that means is that you will not be without shelter. The Lord will protect you from all evil, not the Nigerian police and not the vigilante in your neighborhood. The Lord will protect you from all evil, not your own smartness, not the bulletproofness of your car. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Now, please bear that one in mind. There's a scripture I will read later. David said that as the eye of the master is, as the servant is on the master, and the maiden is on the mistress, says, so our eyes are upon you, O God. Now, quickly, I said we should open to the first one to Mark chapter 11. I will recommend at this point you read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, because what I want to discuss briefly, I shared quite a bit of it in that book. In fact, the whole book is centered around this kind of teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Mark chapter 11 from verse 20. Now, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Now, this was the fig tree that Jesus spoke against in verse 14 when he had gone there looking for fruit and did not find. So he spoke against that fig tree and said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the Bible says the disciples were listening. Now in verse 20, when they were passing by in the morning, they saw that same fig tree withered from the roots up. That is, the decay began in its root. In verse 21, the Bible says, being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Everybody say that. Have faith in God. Now, verse 23. Now, qualifying what it means to have faith in God. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. Now let's just stop there. I want to just read one line again, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. All right? He said, and they shall be granted you. Now, what I want to explain, I don't have time to discuss that in details again, is that if you read it properly in context, and that's what I discussed in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Jesus, what he was saying here is that if you can believe, that belief was not exactly a commandment. Like, believe you will receive it, and it will be yours. That was, you know, that's where it's written most time. But if you read it properly and realize that this was originally written in Greek, and people tried to translate it to English, if you look at it properly, what Jesus actually said was, if you can believe that you will receive them, then it shall be yours. If you can believe that you have received it, then it shall be granted you. The believing there was placed as a condition. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It was not emphasized to them. It wasn't as if you just make up your mind. I remember once, when I was in secondary school, the first time I heard that expression, I was in secondary school, a very young boy then. And one of my seniors, I still remember that encounter very well because it was so strange to me. He said that we're in our hostel and there were bunks everywhere, double bunk beds. And he said that, I can't remember the discussion, but he said that if you say to this, it was a scripture I was quoting, that if you have faith, if you can believe that you speak to this bunk and the bunk will leave where it is and go and drop itself somewhere else, that the bunk will actually move. That's just a matter of you just believing. And I remember, I think I experimented a few times while nobody was watching, trying to talk to the bunk and trying to believe. The truth was that I didn't even know what it meant to believe. Do you get what I'm going to explain? And of course, all the bunks remained exactly where they were, no matter how long I spoke, and no matter how much I steeled my eyes and my mind, trying to persuade them to shift, they did not shift. Now, you see, what I'm going to bring out from there is this. You don't just make up your mind at one instant, at a particular point in time, to believe. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. You either have faith in your heart before that time, or you don't have it. Are you getting my point? Listen, you either have faith or you don't have it. And what I taught in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, is for people to build up their faith at all times. I said something to us in the last few weeks when we were teaching about persistence in prayer, that listen, Christians like to do emergency procedures. Do you understand my point? We like to work as emergencies. Suddenly, we just wake up, we want to pray all night and 2 days at a go. You fast 60 days as a stretch. I don't know why people do such things. I don't even want to learn it. In Jesus' name, God, don't even teach me. All right? Jesus didn't fast more than 40 days. Why do I want to fast 60 days? I'm not going to die for the world. Do you get my point? Now, what I'm going to do is that we just wake up suddenly and start fasting. After that, we stop it. Wake up suddenly and decide we want to pray for 3 days nonstop. We like emergency procedures, just knee-jerk, all right, things. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a constant walk with God. Are you getting my point? It's a constant walk. Walk before me and be perfect. Don't be in a hurry. Just walk. Make sure you are constantly before me. You are always in my presence. That's what Christianity is. It's not about just trying to take certain critical measures, all right, periodically in life without having a culture of doing what is right. Now, what am I going to explain? That's how faith also is. Faith is a constant walk. You either have faith at a particular point in time or you don't have it. You cannot suddenly decide to have faith now when you didn't have it 1 minute ago. Are you getting my point? Usually what brings all faith into your heart is something that is, you will have had an encounter. You will have had a new piece of information. Something must have been added to you for faith to increase in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't just wake up and decide that, all right, enough of unbelief. Now it is time for faith. No, it doesn't work. If you ever tried that, you're fooling yourself. The truth is that something must enter. That's why, let me say to you again, as a Christian, you cannot, listen to this, you cannot survive without constantly listening to the word of God. It will not happen. You know, when we're trying to fix our TV broadcast and all of that, before the time we finally chose, one of the things we're looking at was a Saturday evening, and somebody said that, that's when men watch football. And I remember I said, that's their problem. In fact, it pained me that we found time early in the morning on Saturday rather than late in the evening on Saturday. All right? Go and watch football. I like it like that. Die in your sin. It's your problem. Do you get my point? Everybody has their own issue. It's not. I will not shift the time of my teaching because you're, sorry to use this word, because you're so daft, you don't realize what is important in life. Why don't you watch the recorded match between Man U and Chelsea? Are you getting my point? Why don't you watch the recorded match between Arsenal and Southampton? I don't know what they call them, but Northampton, whatever. Do you get my point? No. As for me to shift the time of a program because some people who don't know what matters in life, all right, I want to go and watch football. May God never allow me to backslide to the level in life where I would do it. If the word of God is not important to you, listen, bro, you are on your own. Do you get the point I'm making? All right? What I'm trying to bring out here is we must understand the things that are excellent. We must understand the things that are critical. I cannot entertainment. Jesus is Lord. The word wants to come forth, and they are showing some overpaid 22 adults are using you to make more money. And you decide that, yes, you want to go and watch match rather than go and listen to the word of God. I think you should see a psychiatrist. In fact, I'm happy we meet on Saturday evenings so that nobody who thinks football is more important than the word of God comes here. I thank God for that because I don't want you anyway. You will dilute the seriousness of the spirit in the atmosphere. What I want to emphasize, Christians cannot survive without the word of God. Listen, the amount of faith I had last year is not the amount of faith I have towards life this year. I thank God because I know, I'm not trying to imagine it, I am sure that my faith has increased and something led to it. Are you getting my point? Or some things led to it. Interestingly enough, what increased my faith, the one I can perceive right now, all right, are these very things that I taught. I love teaching because I learn even while I'm teaching. I am encouraged even when I'm preaching the word of God. Because a lot of things I say, most of them actually, are spoken purely by inspiration. I didn't plan to come and excite somebody before I came. I come to deliver exactly what I have come to understand from the word of God. And a lot of times I'm speaking, the word of God comes forth. There was a day, I've told this story several times when I was planning to get married. One day I was sharing with my fiancée, then now my wife. As I was preaching to her from 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, when I finished sharing with her, I realized that the Holy Spirit was preaching to me. From that word, faith was stirred up in my heart, and the problems I had at that time were solved as a result of the entrance of the word of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, you can't listen. Before you buy the latest weaver, buy the latest books. What, do you get my point? Weaver shall pass away. Amen? Do you get what I'm saying? It is the word of God that abides forever. Once that word leaves the pages, because actually the papers profits nothing, it is the spirit that gives life. It's what you are seeing, all right? While you are looking, the spirit writes upon those letters into your heart. Once that thing enters your heart, it abides forever. So if you have to choose between a meat pie and a book, choose a book. If you have to choose between a new weaver or just leaving your head natural. In fact, join Deeper Life for 2 weeks. Six months, so that all the money you spend doing your hair, just go to Deeper Life I have a few churches that I can recommend, see me after. So that when people say, why is your hair like this? Just don't tell them too many stories, I want to buy a book. Just say, for now, I'm going to this church. And instantly, they will understand. Then you get all the money you're spending on salon, doing your hair. You carry that one and quickly go and buy books, buy tapes. Let's say, I don't know where to play it. I'm sorry to say, people say that I don't have an MP3 player. Sell your phone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not joking about this. I mean it literally. Sell your phone. Go and beg somebody who has an old phone that he's not using currently. There are many people like that. Phones have now become so cheap that people tend to dump old phones. They don't know what to do with it. Nobody wants it anyway. Your 3310s, nobody wants to collect it from you. So there are many 3310s hanging around people's shelves all over Enugu right now, looking for somebody to borrow it. Sell the good phone you have right now. Enter the market. You will find a cheap MP3 player, buy it. Borrow a cheap 3310 to receive calls. Meanwhile, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So that you have a place to listen to the word of God. The car I drive right now, the thing I love most about the car, it's not the steering, it's not the air conditioner, it's not the coolness of the interior, it's not the fact that the engine doesn't leak a drop of oil. No. It is the fact that it loads 6 MP3 CDs at a go. And I can just chim, 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 listen to Father Bishop Oyedepo, chim, 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 ship to Miles Morrow. When I don't finish, I listen to some music. And that is each particular point in time, I can boast of having like 50 messages, just inside my music set. It's as those things are entering into your heart that faith is being built up. Are you getting my point? See, my wife, they smile one kind because she's been saying that one day I'll just discover that my CD player has disappeared. That she'll go and fix something like that in her car. I say, I didn't fix this one. The Lord sent it. So we'll pray some more. And at the end of today, you'll pray a good prayer. You'll see, when I finish today, you'll pray a good prayer and a good one will appear. Say amen. Now, please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I'm going to emphasize something, that faith is built up constantly. At the point of need, you either have the faith or you don't have it. And listen, if you get to a point, you'll see what I'm saying in a moment, and you don't have faith for something, don't try. You know what you do? Call somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? Call somebody. call somebody that has faith. That's when you help one another. And it's not someone who just joins his hands and it's not a person who knows how to speak plenty words. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody who really, you know, I was watching TV a few days ago and I told my wife, look at this man. That he talks slowly, he's an elderly man. He doesn't share deep revelation. You get my point? But when the man is talking, I'm always encouraged. His words are simple, but they come out of a heart that's fully persuaded and is experienced in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You find such a person, and he just holds your hands and shares a word for 2 or 3 minutes, and then prays. That you discover that faith is stirred up in your heart, and where your own faith cannot reach, his own faith cooperating with yours will get to a particular level. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that faith is built up continually. Are you getting my point? All right. So what Jesus was saying here, he said, if you can believe anything that your faith is stirred up to a level that you can believe it, then you will most certainly receive that thing. That as you are praying, if you have an assurance in your heart, like I said, it's not as if you are trying to try. You understand by that expression, trying to try. You're not trying to believe. Say, let us not close our eyes. I refuse to doubt. I know the doubt. Doubt, go. No, you see, you really don't have the faith. When you do, that discussion doesn't really come up. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're fully persuaded. Abraham did not sacrifice Isaac because, hey, my God, this God self, if we don't sacrifice Isaac now, he go vex. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sacrificed Isaac because he was fully persuaded that which he has promised, he's able to perform. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the full persuasion that was inside the heart of Abraham that made him get up to go and sacrifice Isaac. And was not deceiving the mother when he said, the lad and I shall go and sacrifice and we shall return. I don't believe she was trying to deceive the mother. He spoke out of persuasion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so what I'm bringing here is this. Jesus said that if you have that full persuasion in your heart, there is nothing that you ask for in prayer that will not be granted to you. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Now, that thing is very important. In fact, quickly, let's just read this other scripture. You will see it there. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just read this for you. The book of Mark, chapter 9. The same thing Jesus was speaking there, saying there. That will be around, I think, verse 23. Let me see. Yes, you know the story about the boy who called the disciples of Jesus to pray for his son, who are the spirit, and they couldn't cast out the spirit. And then he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him a few questions. And he now said to the Lord that, if you can do anything, have compassion on us, that's verse 22, and help us. And Jesus said to him, you're asking me if I can do anything. The issue is not about me being able to do anything, but if you can believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you can believe. It is not about me being able. My ability is not in question. Are you getting my point? The issue here is, are you able to believe what I am going to do? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's if you can believe. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, as I was thinking about what I'll share today, this thing came to my mind. I want to say something. Maybe I'll continue along those lines, all right, for the next few weeks. On how to pray specifically to receive something from God. Don't forget what I've been teaching all the while. We've been talking about men ought always to pray and not faint. And they must not get discouraged. Their prayer must be constant. And we've said there are two types of prayers there. There is one you pray for yourself continually. And there is one you pray for specific issues that's not about you. Maybe you are praying about the church, for the Church of God in Nigeria. You are praying for the government in Nigeria. You are praying for the nation as a whole. That's the second one. But when it comes to your own personal life, you make a constant confession. And we did a small manual to help us. That's not supposed to be all there is. It's just to give us a guide. You can develop more yourself, write it in, and pray those prayers continually. You don't have to change the words, all right? What I mean is that it's not the dynamics, that is, the fact that your words are so dynamic today, you say, thou shalt, tomorrow thou will, the following day, thou mustest. That's not the thing. The issue, no, really, is the persuasion. Listen, the thing that is inside your heart, all right, that you are giving words to. So you can say the same thing again and again. It's not a vain repetition. There are different types of repetitions. There are vain repetitions and there are useful repetitions. I hope you get what I'm saying. If I recite the Lord is my shepherd with understanding, it's not a vain repetition. Are you getting my point? Yes, I recited, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next morning, I wake up in the morning and I say to the Lord again, you know what he said? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do I dwell? He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. I say different things about him. I get up in the morning and say, oh, somebody has been kidnapped. I say again, he is the one that protects me, all right? The people who are on my side are more than those who are against me. The angel of the Lord, they camp around me and they deliver me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I say that all the time. That's how I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we said that. Let me not go over all of that again. And now if you are praying for a particular situation, that the words that you use are like the weapons, all right? You are praying for order in the Nigerian society. You are praying for development. You can pray that prayer. And let me just say something to us, by the way. As you pray, one of the things that God will do for you is to open your eyes sometimes, all right, to see specific issues you are supposed to speak about. Now, one prayer I would like us to pray ourselves, and not individually all the time, is that for yourself and for your friends and your brothers who are in the struggle with you, in the struggle of faith now, is that God will deaden your ears to unnecessary prayer points. No, I'm serious. And open your heart to know the real things that you're supposed to pray about. I'm just saying that, by the way, because every day I hear things and I feel like these problems distract Christians. Let me just, look, I'm digressing now. I'll go back to what I'm saying. I pray I will go back to what I'm saying. Father God, even if I don't go back right now, help me to go back later. But what I want to say is very important. That prayer may appear simple, but it's crucial. That God will please deaden your ears to unnecessary prayer points and open your hearts to have understanding concerning what really you are supposed to pray. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is distraction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am persuaded concerning this. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is distraction. And the Bible says that hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. If you are praying against what God does not, about what God is not interested in, or what is really not a problem, you will not find any answer and you will be discouraged. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me give you one of those useless prayer points that people, before you know what's happening, they put into your heart. God, nobody from my state has ever been minister of works. That is, God, which word do I use? Okay, that's a Guru Maharajic prayer point. That doesn't have any meaning. I just don't know what else to say. Do you get what I'm saying? No, you know, Christians gather around such things. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, nobody from my area has ever been governor in this state. We pray that there will be equity. As you start talking like that, God just look you. So look at your head. Go to Israel. Ask them how many people were kings outside Judah. And I appointed them. This is my brethren. Those are not serious prayer points. Are you hearing my point? Look, what I'm saying so is that because as I go out every day, we allow the world infiltrate into the church. The worries of the world become our worries. The things that bother people who are not believers, it becomes our own problem. And we carry that anger, all right, into our prayer closet. And as soon as we enter, Baba God excuses himself to go somewhere else because you are angry about things that are not real. Now, forget the fact that I've just said something about the nation. Sometimes there are issues in your family. You are praying and all your prayer is out of anger. Do you get my point? How come my brother is the only one that is, dear Lord, there will be equity in this home, and justice. You are the God that loves justice. Because they have been sharing things the way you don't like it. And the day a man came to Jesus and said, ask my brother to share it with me. He said, who made me a judge and an arbiter over you? And he began to teach, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I discovered that a lot of us as believers, we are learning the problems, the things that are bothering the world, is beginning to be our own issue. And we carry it into church. Something happened many years ago. And I was attending a church, let me color it properly. And I will go to a church, this particular church, and the pastor will come and be preaching some messages. And I'll ask myself that, what's this bro's problem? So finally, I wasn't married then, so it wasn't my wife. I told, okay, it was my friend. I had not even met my wife that time. So I told my friends, I said, this guy's problem is that he reads too many newspapers. Do you get my point? So the prayer points were based upon the analysis of Punch. Prayer points were based upon the analysis of Vanguard. Prayer points were based on the analysis of this day. All right? You were basing prayer points on one unbelieving editor's opinion of the issues of the earth. And you were prophesying out of anger. It didn't really upset me. Then one day, certain some things happened. I wasn't around. God was so good. Everybody said, God is good. One day I came back, a friend of mine called me and said, ah, do you know what happened? I said, what happened? He said, one day pastor showed up in church. That was when I realized that, look, I'm not a prophet, you know what I'm saying? But then sometimes we have understanding. You just, you sound like one. He said, the lady said that, Banky, what you said is exactly right. That do you know, another guy, two of them, a lady and another my friend. He said that, do you know what you say is exactly what happened? Now, pastor came to church one day and said that he has stopped reading newspapers for now. That he discovered that he was becoming a Nadeko prophet. You know what they call Nadeko? Yes. I said, oh, God, I worshipped God that day. Because this was an anointed man who had been distracted. So he announced that for some time, he's not going to read any newspaper. That was when I knew once again that God is alive. No, really. That only God could do that. We didn't discuss. But from a distance, I just used to say, this thing is not supposed to be like this. You know, so you discover a man sharing revelation based on anger. Sharing revelation because he's angry with the society. And of course, when they begin to pray, the prayer is, Lord, we pray for the different nations in this country. That is, we are not one country. Look, I want to preach somewhere. Let me not mention. Somewhere in this town. And the big guy over that denomination came to town some months ago. And I heard him preaching. No, I had preached one of those days. I just went to attend. Yes, my friend invited me. And he was saying that, what nation are we calling Nigeria? Or that Nigeria is not a nation. There's the imagination of some white men. We are not a country. It went ahead from the pulpit, and I bent my head. It is not possible for him to raise a prayer point in that church that God will hear. That's about the nation. Because, you know, it's very common amongst those of us who are from the south, all right, that we feel like, you know what I mean, this is a north-south issue. We now raise prayer points out of ignorance. When the Bible says clearly, these are righteous people, they don't judge after the sin of their eyes or the hearing of their ears. The editors of newspapers don't teach the believers how to pray. That prayer point I've said is very important. That God, letting my ears to unnecessary prayer points. You can shout or you shout. You know, more bank MDs went a few days ago. Sometimes, now please, what I want to say, I'm not passing any judgment on the issues in the banks. I don't know what's going on. I don't like to talk like a stupid man. You know who a stupid man is? A man that has no idea about what is going on and is passing judgment. I don't know what is going on. All right? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I am not saying there is no agenda from any segment of Nigerian, geopolitical distribution. I'm not saying there is none. And I'm not saying there is. What I'm saying absolutely on neutral ground. All right? Now, what I want to say is this. You don't know what God is doing. Sometimes you can raise a prayer point and fight the last prayer point you prayed 2 years ago. I don't know where I get my point. You got up and you pray certain crucial prayers, and God is now set to answer. And when the answer breaks forth, say, Lord, we will not agree. Not here. He said, what do you want me to do now? 2 years ago, you guys spent nights for months praying that I should restructure things so that there will be stability. Now I have started. Do you follow what I'm saying? How God will answer that prayer for you, I don't know. But it's a crucial prayer that you ask God, please, deaden my ears to unnecessary prayer points and open my heart to understand that which I should really, really speak about. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of this is because there's a Bible called the double-minded man who does not receive anything from God, who the Bible says is unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm bringing out something. Remember what we started this from? That if you can believe. Now, back to what I was trying to explain. Let me tell you something. The prayer of the believer is very potent. Do you hear what I said? The prayer of the believer is what? Very potent. The child of God's prayer, especially, let me say this again, when they are united and they gather about an issue that commonly affects them, or even though it does not commonly affect them, it affects one of them, but everybody has decided to feel the pain of the person that it's affecting. Their prayers are very potent. Let me say this. I believe, I am convinced, I have no doubt in my heart that the serious prayers we have prayed for this nation is working very, the prayers are working seriously. They are working very seriously. Don't read the jokers who tell you that Nigeria is 49. What do they have to show for it? As if it's a human being. It's human beings that are fools at 40 and are fools forever. Nations can be fools at 200 and they have not yet started. Are you getting my point? So let them say a toddler still crying at the age of 49 said Nigeria is not a human being, it's a nation. The way you judge the development of a nation is not the same as the development of a human being. Are you following the point I'm making? So let not all those rubbish we read in newspapers, nonsense. But one day I was somewhere, okay, was on October 1st, I went to go and renew my DSTV subscription. So some people were saying happy independence and all those kind of things. And I said, What are I celebrating? A nation that has 49 years, and I was looking at them and said, look at these jokers. They don't know how to count their blessings. I can assure you, Nigeria is far more advanced today than it was 40 years ago. For your information, Nigeria is more developed today than it ever was. Now, as a nation, it is. And let me announce to you again, it is going forward and is not going backwards. Let me prophesy to you again, any man who will stand in the path of progress, in the forward motion that our prayers and our agreement with God has set this nation upon, the person will die suddenly. Listen, he's the one that will be destroyed and everything he puts his hand to will fail. He is the one that will go backwards. He will not be able to stop the rest of us from going forward. Listen, I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. God is working and the devil can't stop it. No human being can stop it. As long as you and I remain in faith, we have decided what really we want from God. We want to go forward and we are not going backward. No human being can stop it. You can appoint him president today. I remember the prophecy I gave many years ago. I told him I'm not a prophet. You know that? I speak out of what? Understanding. Good. A man stood up. No, I was somewhere. One of my brethren said something against the head of state of the country at that time. And I turned to him, I said, stop talking like that. That it is forbidden for you to speak like that about the head of your country. And he turned to me and said, nah, I'm waiting. Now go put him there. And I didn't say anything further. Because, you see, I don't want to help you put yourself into judgment. If I love you so much, let me stop the whining there. All right? Because when you murmur, you enter, you are destroyed in the wilderness. So let me not help you murmur further. But I kept quiet. But in the evening, I felt I should correct. I had to teach. I had a program, and I was going to teach in the evening. So I got up to speak. I said, please, before I get up to my message, let me just help some of us. And I said something about what happened earlier in the day. I didn't mention what happened. I just said, look, about speaking about the nation and all of that. That please, let's be careful. That indeed, every leader is appointed by God, whether you like it or not. Including Adolf Hitler. Are you getting my point? Adolf Hitler was appointed by God. You may not like him. 6 million Jews smoked. Mm-hmm. That was his assignment. Smoke 6 million Jews. Now, I don't have time to explain. Is that okay? Some people won't like me because of what I have said, but that means they don't know God. They don't care about truth. I don't care what they think. All right? Stalin, all those people, God knew and he raised them up for his own purpose. So I said something like that then, and I said, look, when God is tired of the leader of your nation, he will kill him suddenly and he doesn't need to discuss with you. Do you know, I think 6 weeks later, Abacha dropped dead. Suddenly Abacha dropped dead. See, I think a few weeks later. As if to say, look, I told you guys, you don't need to be fighting. That when God is tired, a man will just die suddenly. When MK Abela died shortly after, You were fighting all over Lagos. I said, this guy ain't fighting nobody. You must understand that when David refused to raise his hand to fight against Absalom, when he decided to run, when he said, don't kill, don't hurt the lad, he knew what he was doing. When, even after they won the battle, when the battle commenced, and he didn't go back into the city, all right, until the elders came and brought him back in. It was because he was a man who had understanding that this boy was not acting by himself, but was acting against, under the influence of the spirit of judgment that God has had passed upon him, David. Are you getting it? Well, I'm next, babe. So when all this was happening, I just said, you guys, better relax. Let God settle what he wants to settle in this country. Now, people, when you, those who don't understand, will think that you are saying that some wrong things are correct. No, I am saying that when God wants to work, all right, he will use things that are wrong fundamentally to fulfill his purpose. Are you getting my point? That's what he does. Please, I want us to bear that one in mind. And in this country, God is still doing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't be discouraged. God is still working. Every progress that we have made, especially the ones that were birthed spiritually in the place of prayer, any human being that wants to retard it because of personal gain or the gain of his own segment of the country is just signing up for premature death and early destruction. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. All right? If you have an uncle, a brother, somebody in power, pray for him that God, may my uncle, may my father, may my brother not stand against your progress. Lord, when he wants to start standing against you, may he fall sick and come home. When he wants to start standing against you, may they organize against him and dismiss him from the group. But Lord, don't let him die because he's standing against your progress. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me say it again. The prayer of the people of God, those prayers are very powerful unless they are not pointed. Do you get my point? When people have gathered the whole night and they are chasing unnecessary prayer points. Let us pray that this 2000 and when is the next election? 11. Our governor shall come from this local government. You know, it's not God that sent you that one. You're on your own. The president shall come from this area. It's not God that sent you that one. You're on your own. All right? You are wasting precious time. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. All right. Now, please, let me just sit on what I was trying to say. All right? I hope you are learning something, Sha. All right. So, what I was trying to say earlier is this. Talking about if you can believe. I said, as I along the line, I went into talking about necessary prayer points. There's a reason why I went into that. You know, there's something that James said. Let's quickly read it to help me explain what I want to say. The book of James, chapter 4. It's one scripture I like to quote from a lot when I'm trying to explain some principles in Christianity. Let's read from verse, should we start from 1 or verse 3? All right, let's start from verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? He said, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious. When he talks about murder now, he's talking about hate coming from inside people. And you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have, this is why you don't have, he said, because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And what's the motive? So that you may spend it on your pleasures. I like King James here. He uses the word lusts. Then he went ahead in verse 4 to explain the attitude of God towards those who are worldly minded. He said, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose when it says, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. That is, he desires that that spirit will be used properly and be focused upon him. In verse 6, he says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.